mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. We've all been there. You crack open a new book, read the first few chapters, and then, for whatever reason, you just stop. That's it. The book slowly migrates from bedside to under the bed to a pile with a bookmark placed somewhere in chapter two. Enough of those bestsellers and the book to read this summer. We're adjusting our aspirations to consider the books purchased optimistically in June and remaining unread by Labor Day. Dr. Jordan Ellenberg has come up with an entertaining and unscientific way to determine the most unread books of the summer. He's professor of mathematics at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. We found his article, "The Summer's Most Unread Book Is... dot, dot, dot," in the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Ellenberg, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me on.
So give us this formula for determining how unread a book is, which you call the Hawking Index. Can you explain?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's called the Hawking Index after Stephen Hawking's book, The Brief History of Time, which is very famous as a book that millions of people bought, and it's said that very few people finish, no fault of Hawking's or his theories himself.
I am among them, I might add.
Is it under your bed or is it in the pile?
Oh, my God. It's in the barn, in a box.
So the reason I came to this is, you know, I have a new book out called How Not to Be Wrong, and I've been, like any new author, I sort of obsess over the different metrics that you can see online, and I found sort of to my dismay that when I looked at the sentences that people highlighted on Amazon, I don't know if everybody who has a Kindle knows this, but Amazon keeps track of what you highlight, and they post the most popular one. So when I looked at the most highlighted sentences, I found that all of them were from the first three chapters of the book, and that sort of took me aback. I was like, wow, is nobody reading past the first three chapters? And that's what gave me the idea to say, well, how am I doing compared to everybody else? Of course, that's what you do in life, right? So I looked at a bunch of other books, and for each one, looked at the five top highlights that Kindle gives you, which makes fascinating reading to see which sentences people highlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then this index that I came up with was to take the locations of those five top highlights in the book and average them. So if they were all, you know, in the first chapter, then the number would be very low. If they were spread throughout the book, as you might expect from a book that people have finished, then maybe it would be close to the middle or even after the middle.
Okay, so despite its namesake, the Hawking Index does not sound like a very scientific measurement.
No, it's highly non-scientific, I say in the piece. It's for entertainment purposes only, because there are lots of reasons that people might highlight, especially towards the beginning of the book, other than they didn't finish it. For example, I found that nonfiction books scored much, much lower than novels. And that's not because everybody's finishing their novels and not finishing their nonfiction books. I think it's because nonfiction books typically have introductions. And introductions are filled with these very declarative thesis statement type sentences where you're like, here's what my book is about, here's what I'm trying to say. And people love to highlight stuff like that. So I think that's one reason you see the nonfiction books scoring very low. On the other hand, even among nonfiction books, there's clear winners and losers.
All right, let's apply that formula to some highly touted summer reads, beginning with The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, which we might add is a honkin' big book. Does the length of book have anything to do with this formula?
It seems to in general, but I got to say The Goldfinch is kind of an outlier. I have to admit, I have not started or finished this book. I'm sure it's good, but I just haven't gotten to it. But certainly from the outside, I thought, well, this is one of those ones. It's, you know, it's very critically acclaimed. It's long. It's literary. I was like, well, this is one of those ones that people are not going to have finished. But on the contrary, this got the highest Hawking Index of any book that I have seen. In fact, all of the five top highlights are from like the last 20 pages of the book. Pretty interesting, which indicates that unless people are skipping to the end, which I kind of doubt, I don't know anyone who reads novels that way, it indicates that people really did get all the way to the back of this book, and even more, they liked what they found.
Well, I must say, it is a book that I saw on everyone's shelf and decided to read it, loved it, but did do a fair bit of skimming through, you know, pages and pages of details on Chippendale furniture and that kind of thing. Is there anything in the Hawking Index to indicate that skimming nature, that you just move to the parts, the juicy parts?
Well, one thing, since you bring that up, I will say that amusing reading is the popular highlights in 50 Shades of Grey. And I can tell you, for a very juicy book, it's a decidedly non-juicy set of clicks. People do not, I assume people would highlight, well, what you can imagine. And it's exactly the opposite. People highlighted, like, the names of operas that they were listening to while other more interesting stuff was going on.
Wow.
And pieces of business advice. I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, what I learned is that I have no idea, like, what people are doing when they highlight. I think there's a lot of different practices of highlighting and how people choose what to highlight.
All right, so let's look at some other big books of the year. Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg, 12.3 on the Hawking Index. What was the most highlighted sentence in this book?
Right, so that's something that I also noticed happened a lot, which is that the most highlighted sentences was actually not one that Sheryl Sandberg wrote. It was a quote from Alice Walker. And she's not alone in that, actually. I think, if I remember right, one of the 50 Shades of Grey quotes also was a quote. So people like to highlight things that the author is quoting from someone else. I guess they feel like if the author thought it was an important enough quote to memorize and write down, then they should feel the same way, too. So Sandberg got a score of about 12%, which sounds low, but it was it's for a nonfiction book, it's actually quite high, the highest of the nonfiction books that I looked at. Although the Washington Post did some follow-up and found some other political books, like Dreams of My Father, Barack Obama's book, that did even better.
So you mentioned nonfiction. Michael Lewis's Flash Boys. Does he kind of hold a permanent place on the Hawking's Index? I'm just thinking, his books come out with a lot of fanfare. People buy them. Do they read them?
I do, actually. So those are ones that I've read. I haven't read the new one, but and actually I misspoke because I came back and did his later. So originally, Sheryl Sandberg was the highest scoring nonfiction book, but actually it was Michael Lewis. His was the last one I did. Who scored in the 20s in the range that's more typical of novels. And I think his books really read like novels. They have stories. They have crazy characters. So I think in many ways, they function for the reader in the same way an exciting novel does.
Okay. Big fan of Michael Lewis's, by the way, on the record. Drum roll, please, or maybe anti-drum roll, please. Which book had the lowest Hawking Index on your list?
So on my list in the Wall Street Journal, the lowest Hawking Index, and actually this was exactly what I predicted it would be, so I was proud of myself, was Thomas Piketty's book, Capital in the 21st Century.
Uh-huh, the book that everybody was buzzing about. Give us a little background first, this French economist book.
Well, it's the publishing story of the year, right? It's this crazy thing that a 700-page work of technical economics translated from the French. I mean, how much more uncommercial could you be? And yet this book has sold, what, like 150,000 copies or something. It's been a huge bestseller since the day it came out 3 months ago. I think everybody recognizes that this book is important and has moved the direction of the conversation about economics. The question is, are people making it all the way through? And based on what I saw, maybe we should say, it's a fairly new book, maybe we should say not yet. Of the five top highlights, they were all in the first 26 pages of this 700-page book. So that indicates to me that people are reading the introduction, but then maybe once the charts and the graphs and the numbers start to fly, people are not persisting.
You have asked people to tweet their unread books with the hashtag unreadbooks. What are some of the findings from that?
Yeah, so one thing I learned is that Piketty is not the all-time champion on this measure. So, for instance, Hillary Clinton's book, Hard Choices, another giant bestseller, actually comes in at 1.9%, even lower than Piketty.
Well, Dr. Ellenberg, you are not going to get off free on this. What is the last book that you did not get through?
Okay, here's one that comes to mind. Big Trouble by J. Anthony Lucas. Amazing book about turn-of-the-century Idaho, like a labor strife, a crazy bombing. But I am going to finish it. You should call me back next year and see if I finished it. I've read two-thirds of it.
How do you know it's amazing if you haven't finished it?
Because I read two-thirds of it. The first two-thirds was amazing.
Dr. Jordan Ellenberg, the author of How Not to Be Wrong, The Power of Mathematical Thinking. What was the Hawking Index on that, please?
It was a 7.7%.
You beat Hillary Clinton, it sounds like.
Oh, by a mile.
Now, you'll find a link to read his Wall Street Journal article. The summer's most unread book is at wordofmouthradio.org, and he'd love to hear yours. Some that came up for us, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius, Moby Dick, The French Lieutenant's Women, The Silmarillion. I'm sure you have some stashed in a box or next to your bedside gathering dust. Please let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio, and hashtag them unread books.